It is October 5th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Today marks the 11th anniversary of the death of Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple Computer Company, now simply Apple Inc. I typed these words on a MacBook Pro while wearing an iWatch, all from Apple. I wasn't an original Apple convert, but once the iPhone came out, I switched from my BlackBerry to an iPhone and never looked back. I've become an Apple person since then, especially after I bought my first MacBook. Don't get me wrong, I still have and use a Windows computer every day. My desktop computer is a powerful Windows machine my son Robbie built for me to edit video and audio. This is the same computer he used to serendipitously mine Bitcoin when he was 15. But I have great appreciation for Steve Jobs, for the company and the products he built, but also for the fantastic marketer he was. In the early days of Apple Computer, there were some key trading companies that used their computers in their operations, including O'Connor and Associates, I was once told. In fact, I was told a story about how once in the early days of Apple Computer, when their financial picture was rather grim, it was an order from O'Connor that saved Apple. The CBOT's first attempt at an electronic trading match engine was built on an Apple platform, with icons representing different traders in the pit and showing the prices they were bidding or offering. The system fundamentally misunderstood electronic trading and created so much data from the graphical user interface that the data pipes were not big enough to support it. That is why the Aurora trading platform was never implemented and why Project A, which used a local area network in downtown Chicago that could handle the data, was what was eventually deployed. Where is the best bar in the world? Well, if you ask someone in Chicago where to get the stiffest drink, that would be Ceres Cafe in the CBOT building. But according to a Bloomberg story, the best bar in the world is hidden behind a Barcelona pastrami shop. The New York Times has an article titled, "How to Time Your Leaf Peeping Trip This Fall," with the subtitle, "From New England to California and points in between, the symphony of colors that accompanies the arrival of a snap in the air is playing out differently in 2022. Watching the fall colors is one of my favorite things of the season." In not so good news, the New York Times has a story titled, "Talk of Civil War, Ignited by Mar-a-Lago Search, is Flaring Online." The story says that after the FBI searched Donald Trump's Florida home, posts on Twitter that mentioned civil war had soared nearly 3,000% in just a few hours as Mr. Trump's supporters blasted the action as a provocation. I don't know the base from which the 3,000 jumped, but 3,000 is not a good number. Another Donald Trump social media trending topic is defund the SEC, according to a Matt Goldstein story in the New York Times titled, "Defund the SEC becomes a rallying cry on Trump's social media site. The nation's top securities regulator has been investigating the Trump SPAC deal for a year. Some small investors are upset." Former CBOE Senior Vice President Head of Sales Brian Christian has joined LMAX Digital as Director of U.S. Institutional Sales. He was previously Head of Exchange with Crosstower. John Regan, who was the CEO of Philip Capital UK, has left the financial services industry and joined Nico, a technology provider in the ESG arena, as CEO. Reagan has also been with Pat Systems, Revco, and Gerald Metals. The CME Group is celebrating 10 years of having a team in Belfast, Northern Ireland. ICE's FTSE 250 futures open interest hit an all-time high, up 76% since the start of September. The FTSE 250 index comprises mid-cap companies not covered by the FTSE 100 index. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Our Markets Wiki short of the day is Duncan Niederauer. Everybody can't be the best. In this video from Markets Wiki Education's World of Opportunity event in New York in 2017, former NYSE CEO Duncan Niederauer discusses the importance of being self-aware, how to determine if you're moving in the right direction, why it matters, and how you'll know as you embark on your career if you're following the script. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a press release from FINRA. FINRA Foundation awards 2022 Ketchum Prize to Cesar Escalante, University of Georgia professor recognized for pioneering research and advocacy to advance financial inclusion and alleviate racial and gender bias in agricultural lending. The FINRA Investor Education Foundation, FINRA Foundation, today awarded Cesar Escalante the 2022 Ketchum Prize, its highest honor, in recognition of his outstanding service and research to advance financial capability and inclusion in the U.S. My comment, FINRA is shining a light on a very important issue with the Ketchum Prize. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. Could these plans revive LaSalle Street? A city commission panel lays out ideas to breathe new life into the outmoded LaSalle Street corridor. Painted asphalt, compelling light displays, closing off blocks for pedestrians, and even street sheltering glass canopy are among the ideas that could help revive vacancy-ridden LaSalle Street and boost the Loop's post-pandemic comeback, according to a City Commission panel. In a 36-page report set to be published this week, a group convened by the Urban Land Institute recommended an overhaul for the historic thoroughfare to dramatically break from its past as a hub of financial giants. The main conclusion, LaSalle Street needs to become all about foot traffic. Read the full report below. My comment, I am trying to decide which building I would want to rent an apartment in. I like what I see for the plans for LaSalle Street. Here's a story from The Real Deal. The headline, we're not sort of in, we're all in. A look at Ken Griffin's plans to reshape Miami. Griffin said he will personally pitch companies like Apple. Billionaire Ken Griffin revealed details of his plans to put his stamp on Miami, including a waterfront office tower with a helipad, marina, and restaurants that could cost the Citadel founder and CEO $1 billion to develop. It's well known that Griffin and his company, Citadel and Citadel Securities, are relocating from Chicago to Miami. The office tower, which Chicago-based Sterling Bay will build for Citadel, is expected to rise on the bayfront site at 1201 Brickell Bay Drive. Citadel paid $363 million for the lot and another $286.5 million for the nearby office building at 1221 Brickell Avenue this year. The company, which leases office space at Southeast Financial Center in downtown Miami, also signed a lease for space at the 830 Brickell office tower that is under construction. My comment, but what about Franz G? Here's a story from CNBC. This 34-year-old family-owned car auction brought in a record $675 million last year by finally embracing the internet. Despite the popularity of websites like eBay, the world's largest auction house for collector cars never really embraced online bidding, not until the COVID-19 pandemic stepped in. What started as a survival tactic, a fail-safe in case live events never came back, turned into a strategy that helped Mecum auctions bring in a record $675 million in revenue last year, according to CEO Dave Majors. My comment. The car auction learned a lesson I figured out as soon as I got involved with electronic trading. You can get a lot more people involved, more trading, more competitive markets, and better price signals. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was Chuck Mackey's take on the trading show Chicago 2022, Nine Takeaways at Medium. Second was CFTC brings enforcement action against digital exchange and natural person controller, suggesting native crypto asset is a commodity and not a security, from the law firm Catton. Third was Six launches municipal bond pricing through Tradeweb's AI Price, from the Trade. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story, our headline, is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline is, Chicago to convert famous business district office buildings to apartments. City plans to provide tens of millions of dollars in subsidies to revitalize the LaSalle Street corridor. Chicago is offering financial help to developers willing to convert aging office towers into residential buildings, a new program that could become a test case for other cities looking to promote these office conversions. City officials said last week they would provide tens of millions of dollars in subsidies to revitalize the LaSalle Street corridor, whose landmark office buildings made up the thriving center of Chicago's business for decades. Since the pandemic, though, the strip's mostly vacant streets and towers have come to symbolize the slow pace that employees have been returning to office buildings. Here's another story. This one is from the Financial Times. Ray Dalio hands over reins at Bridgewater. Billionaire hedge fund founder jettisons all his voting rights, ending drawn-out transition of power. Ray Dalio, the billionaire founder of hedge fund Bridgewater Associates, has given up control of the firm, ending a drawn-out transition of power that had to come to define the industry's succession problems. The 73-year-old, who until last month was one of three co-chief investment officers at the firm and sat on its investment committee, has transferred all of his voting rights to the board of directors, said people familiar with the details. Dalio will remain on the board as founder and CIO mentor. And then here's another story, this one from Bloomberg, again about Dalio. Ray Dalio gives up control of Bridgewater in final succession step. Bridgewater hedge fund founder also stepped down as co-CIO. Firm's flagship Pure Alpha strategy has gained 34.6% in 2022. After 12 years of trying, Ray Dalio is finally letting go. The billionaire founder of Bridgewater Associates has given up control of the firm he built into the world's largest hedge fund, entrusting its future and $150 billion in assets to a younger generation of leaders with their own ideas about investing. On September 30th, he transferred all of his voting rights to the board of directors and stepped down as one of Bridgewater's three co-investment officers. Ray no longer has the final word, co-chief executive officer Nir Bardi said in an interview. That's a big change. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.